Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. And today we're going to be talking about comfort and pain. Comfort and pain. Pain is a natural part of life. How many have found that out? It's a natural part of life, and we experience it on several different levels. We experience it in physical pain. A couple of weeks ago, I was power raking our yard, getting it ready to fertilize, and as I was putting the lawn clippings into a garbage can with a sack. And how many know that when you power rake, you get a lot of dead stuff up? Yeah, you ever done that? How many ever power raked before? If you have, I mean, it's like, and my bag was filling up, and this was on Friday when I was doing this, and my trash day's on Thursday, so I had just done trash day, and my garbage bin is filling up. So I get into the garbage can, and I'm pushing everything down, trying to pack in as much as I can. And I'm going along, I'm power raking, and I'm looking and I'm going, I can get one more bag in, one more bag in. And so I dump it in, and it was really pretty full, and to close it up, I had to get into the garbage can again. But this time, I'm up a lot higher than I had been. And I didn't realize that the garbage can was not on level ground. And when you're down deeper in, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, not completely level. It can be a little dip there and you're okay. But when you're, you know, like maybe that far from the top, it's not so steady. And I got in and I started pushing it down, and all of a sudden, the garbage can goes out from underneath me, and I fell and I landed on my lawnmower, which was right there, and I cut my leg up on the side of my knee. I was bleeding, and the mower broke my fall, and then I landed on my shoulder, and this shoulder's not good. I separated it in high school, so it's always a little sore and stuff. And oh man, I was aching. I just laid on the ground for 3 minutes. I don't know how long it was. Just going, oh man, this is so bad. I go on the. I was done for a while. I went in the house, got an ice pack on, and I was in pain. I was in pain. How many ever experienced physical pain? You know, you're hammering away. Instead of hitting the 16-penny nail, you hit your fingernail, your thumbnail. You ever do that? You know, or maybe you get the flu or a cold and you just feel miserable. Or maybe you find out you have some kind of a disease and it's a chronic ongoing thing. We all go through pain. That's the physical pain. Then there's emotional pain. Emotional pain is sometimes worse than physical pain. This last Monday, our refrigerator went out. And so we had to get a new refrigerator. How many refrigerators are not real cheap? And my wife, she's wanting to put in hardwood floor in our hallway because our laundry is right in the hallway. That's the way they designed the home. And I mean, it is a mess. And we've got carpet and it's all matted down and it's a major walkway. And why they didn't put hardwood to match the rest of the house, we don't know. But she wanted to put in hardwood floor, so that was our goal this year. Well, bye-bye went the hardwood floor money plus money out of savings to get a new fridge. You know, and there's times it's like, that is frustrating, that's disappointing. And how many ever been there and done that? You know, you've got a plan, you're doing something, and, you know, your car breaks down, your water heater goes out, or you get in an accident, or something happens, or you lose your job. Or maybe it's in the area of relationships. Maybe your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, or your girlfriend says something hurtful or does something hurtful. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe they're having trouble in school. Maybe they're being bullied. Maybe they're making poor life decisions. And these things weigh on you and they hurt. That's emotional pain. We all experience it. And then there is spiritual pain. Spiritual pain is when we pray, but God does not answer our prayers. And we might be taking our regular time with Jesus, might be praying and reading the Word, but we don't sense His presence. He seems distant, like He's a million miles away. That's spiritual pain. And there's all kinds of pain. Sometimes you're saying, God, I don't see what you're doing in my life. God, I feel so empty. I feel so dry. God, I'm so frustrated. This is not where I want to be. What do we do when we suffer pain in our lives? I want to talk about that this morning. If you would take out your bulletins, there's a statement up at the top. If you're taking notes this morning, write this in. God comforts us in all our pain. God comforts us in all of our pain. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians. Let's look at our text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to kick it off with verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in 50% of our tribulation." Is that what it says? Okay, hang on, I misread it. "Who comforts us only in our spiritual tribulation." No. What does he say? He comforts us, help me, in all our tribulation. In our physical tribulation, our emotional tribulation, our spiritual tribulation. Whether it's in relationships with your family, your spouse, your kids, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your health, whether it's something big or something little, God comforts us in all our tribulation. Now, if you're here and this is your first time at Casper Faith this morning, maybe you're not a Christ follower, maybe you haven't been to church in a long time, we're so glad you're here. It's good to have you here. We're glad you've joined us. But you might be here thinking, you know, Craig, I'm sorry, man, God does not comfort me in my pain, in my trouble. Well, there's a couple things you need to be aware of, okay? Maybe the first reason why God doesn't comfort you in your pain, okay, and don't take this wrong, but it's because you're not God's child, okay? If we are not God's children, we're not under His umbrella of protection and care. If we are willfully living in rebellion to God, saying, I'm going to do things my way, then God doesn't have to comfort us. Because you see, when Paul wrote this to Christ followers in the church of Corinth. This promise that God comforts you in all of your pain is written to Christians. So if you're not a Christian, then this promise doesn't apply to you. Now, let me just say, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're exempt, because I know Christians that willfully live in rebellion to God, and you know what? You bring yourself under God's judgment. You bring yourself under God's judgment. If you're a Christ follower, but you're not willfully following Jesus and obeying Him, and you're living in disobedience. We see this in Psalm 106 in verse 40. It says, and what the setting of this is, God's children were willfully rebelling against Him, and it says, "Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against His people, so that He abhorred His own inheritance." When a person goes against the Lord, they feel the weight of God's judgment on their life instead of God's peace and protection and comfort. And I just want to throw this out today. If you're experiencing difficulty, if you're experiencing God's judgment, there is a way out from underneath that. You can come to Him and get right with Him. You don't have to stay in that. Now, outside of that, realize this, and this is for all of us, there is a second reason why we do not experience God's comfort. And are you ready for this? It's in your notes. Go ahead and take a look. You can write this down. The second reason is that God is more interested in your character than your comfort. God is more interested in my character, more interested in your character than He is in our comfort. He really doesn't, I mean, he does care what you and I do. But here's the thing, he's more concerned about who we are. And I know sometimes Christians, we can get caught up in what we're doing for God, but God doesn't care about your accomplishments. He doesn't care about your plan. He doesn't care about your wants and your desires and your needs as much as he cares about how much of his grace and his love and his life is being reflected through you and I. His character is what matters most to him. There are three things now as we're going to talk about what to do as we're going through pain. And keep that in mind, God's more interested in our character than he is in our comfort. I want to share with you three things that Paul says, what should we do when we go through pain? How do we go through tribulation and trials? If you're taking notes this morning, number one is refocus on what is happening in me, not to me. We need to refocus on what is happening in me and not to me. Paul and his missionary team were in a very serious situation when they were in Asia. It was so bad that it looked like they were going to die, and they had given up any hope of even living. Take a look at verse 8. We read this here in verse 8, and I'm going to read it from the Good News Bible, and it says, "We want to remind you, friends, of the trouble we had in the province of Asia. The burdens laid upon us were so great and so heavy that we gave up all hope of staying alive." Verse 9, "We felt that the death sentence had been passed on us." Catch this part here. "But this happened so that we should rely not on ourselves, but only on God who raises the dead." The reason Paul was going through this pain, the reason he and his team were going through this pain, and it was a pain that they thought, this is it, we're done. This tribulation, this difficulty, we're not going to make it through. We're going to die. They'd given up all hope of living. The reason is so that we could learn to rely on God more. And friends, that applies to you and I. There are times when things may look hopeless in our life, and God is saying, "You're going through this because I want you to learn to rely on me more. Even if it looks like we're going to die, rely on God. Even if it looks like you have no hope of making it through, rely on God. Even if it looks like it's impossible, rely on God." Why? Because I love what it says at the end of verse 9, because God raises from the dead. Is there anything more difficult than raising a dead person? I mean, that's pretty tough, isn't it? But that's the kind of God we serve. He raises the dead. And Paul says we had to realize that, hey, we have to rely on God because with our God, he's supernatural. He does the impossible. Even though all hope is lost, if you've got God, you still have hope. Never give up on God. Keep on keeping on. Paul says when you go through a difficult day, don't say, "Lord, deliver me from this trouble." Instead, say, "Lord, what do you want me to learn?" And there's two bullet points in your notes. The first thing that I need to learn when I am going through pain is I am learning how to rely on God in everything. That's what faith is. If I have complete faith in God, then I am relying on God in everything, in every circumstance and situation in life. And we're told in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when my refrigerator goes out and now my plans are hurt and my finances are hurt and I'm frustrated and I'm upset, am I relying on my finances and me, or am I going to rely on God to take care of things when they go awry? When I'm sick or whenever I'm having problem of any kind, relational or whatever it might be, do I rely on God in that circumstance and situation? was telling our worship team as we were meeting in my office before church to pray, I says, you know, this is a lesson I really feel that God is trying to really hammer home in me. And if I could get this down to rely on God in all my tribulation so that I've got unwavering faith, which results in peace and joy and patience instead of frustration with people or circumstances or worry or anxiety. If I could do this, man, I'd really be growing spiritually. I mean, that would be a great spiritual mile marker for me. I don't know about you, but how many of you would say, I have absolutely no fear, no worry, no frustration, no bitterness to other people or to God. You know, I never get riled up about anything when anything goes wrong. Any takers out there? You never. I don't see any hands raised. You see, God wants us to come to the place that, hey, when you go through pain, it's so that you can learn to rely more upon God. This is what James said in James chapter 1, verse 2. Again, reading from the Good News Bible. My friends, consider yourselves fortunate. Consider yourselves blessed. Some of their translations say, count it all joy, pure joy, when all kinds of trials come your way. I mean, does that sound ridiculous? Count it all joy when all kinds of trials come to you? Consider yourself blessed. Oh, yeah, I love being blessed. Well, if you've got problems, you're blessed today. All right? Because that's what James said. Count yourself blessed. Count yourself fortunate when you go through all kinds of problems. So be careful when you say, oh, bless me, Jesus. He says, oh, I've been waiting for you to say that. Count yourself blessed when all kinds of trials come your way, for you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure. Make sure that your endurance carries you all the way without failing, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, when I go through times of trial, you know what I do? I pray for rescue. And you know what God's saying? Craig, I want to remodel. I don't want to rescue you out of this. I want to remodel you so that your faith, you're relying on me in all of your problems, and you're counting it joy because you're not worried, you don't have fear, you're not frustrated because I'm your source. Your abilities aren't your source. Your bank account's not your source. Your plans and your strategies aren't your source. You're not relying on those things. You're relying on me to take you through everything in life. And that's what he wants. Here's the thing. What is happening to you today is not the thing. It's what's going on inside of you. That's the thing that matters. It's not what's happening to me, it's what's happening in me. And Paul says, when you go through trials, refocus on what's happening in you instead of what's happening to you. Learn to rely fully on God. That's the first thing to learn. And there's a second bullet there. I need to learn how to be God's change agent. I need to be his change agent so that I can bring the comfort that I've learned to other people. Take a look. Let's read verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. And we want to stop right there. But look at the rest of verse 4. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. In other words, the more I suffer, the more God has an opportunity to comfort me and give me help and hope and faith and peace. Now, Paul says, if we're afflicted, It's for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for the enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we're comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. Our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Who better to minister to someone who is addicted to drugs or alcohol than someone that God has brought through and delivered that, and they've experienced the comfort of God? Who better to minister to someone who's lost a child than someone who's lost a child themselves? Who better to minister to someone who is going through the throes of cancer than someone that God has delivered through cancer? The struggles you and I, the pain you and I go through, God is saying, as you have come through them and I've comforted you and I've been there and you've realized everything was okay and you made it, when you see someone else in that situation, you can now be a change agent in their life. Instead of them being defeated in fear and worry and anxiety, bitterness, or frustration, you can come now and you can take the comfort and say, I've been where you've been. I've walked in your shoes, but God has been there for me. And you can take that and give that to them, and so they can experience the fruit of the Spirit. They can experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And God says, I want you to learn to be my change agent. But if I don't go through the trial and the pain properly, I'm not receiving from God something that I can give away to others. And so Paul says, don't focus on your pain. Don't look at your problem. Don't say, oh, I got it so bad. He says, instead, look within you and say, God, change me. Help me to learn. Remodel me. Make me rely on you so that then I can help others that are also going through dark and difficult times. That's the first thing Paul teaches us about what to do when we're going through pain. Refocus on what God is doing in us instead of what's happening to us. Okay, let's look at the second point. The second point, if you're taking notes this morning, the second thing God wants us to do when we're going through a time of pain is to refresh your relationship with God. Refresh your relationship with God. Take a look at verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, God who delivered us from so great a death, that death that he was just talking about in verses 8 and 9 where he says we'd given up hope, we didn't think we were going to make it through. But then he says, God delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, present tense, in whom we trust he will still deliver us. Paul said, God delivered me in the past, but now do you realize he's saying, I still need deliverance? Paul is still going through tribulation and pain. It's not like he's out of this. He's still going in it. And so he says, God will deliver me from this problem, from this tribulation, from this persecution that I'm going through. Paul refreshes his relationship with God. He refreshes his hope that God will deliver him. He refreshes his trust, his belief that God cares for him and loves him, and he will work everything out for his purposes. Paul is still in trouble, but he refreshes his relationship. He remembers the times of pain and past and how God brought him through, and he uses that to encourage himself in the Lord. And that is something that we need to do. We need to refresh ourselves and our relationship with God when we go through difficult times. A few years ago, I shared a message here called What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life. It's based on 1 Samuel chapter 30. You can turn there if you want. At least write it down in your notes because I'd like you to read this later on today. Read this, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it's the story of David. And here's the thing. David is on the run from King Saul. David has been, as a teen, was anointed as king. And yet Saul was king, and David comes under Saul after he kills Goliath, and David raises up in the army, and he becomes one of Saul's main guys, but Saul becomes jealous. Saul tries to kill David. David runs for his life. And as a result, Saul accuses David of being a traitor, of trying to overthrow the government, and so Saul goes after David and tries to kill him. David is on the run for years. And slowly, different people begin to come to David, so many that there are 600 men now with David. They're such a large group that David can't hide out in the wilderness of Israel anymore. David goes to the land of the Philistines, and he begins to fight for one of the Philistine leaders. And the Philistine leader says, here, you can settle your whole army of 600 men and your wives and your children in the Philistine city of Ziklag. That way Saul doesn't come and afflict you anymore. So David's fighting for the Philistines, but he never attacks Israel. And this is what happens. We're going to pick it up in verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 30. It happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. They're coming back home to their wives and their family. On the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Now, how many of you think that's a bad day? That's a bad day, isn't it? And at verse 4, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been in that? You've been so sad, and you cry until you can't cry anymore. You're just wore out. Have you ever been there? Been that sad, that hurting? That's David. And it goes on to say, and David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. So we know David's missing them too. Now here's the thing. He had two wives. Friends, that's not God's plan for your life, okay? Just because David did it and he was a man after God's own heart doesn't mean God's for polygamy. In the beginning, he said, one man, one woman, one flesh for life. Okay? He's not for bigamy or polygamy, all right? Just one. Just want to clarify that there. But look at verse 6. Now, David was greatly distressed, not because of everything else, but look at this. For the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. Talk about the worst day of your life. You've lost your wife and kids. Your possessions, your home have been stolen, and anything that was left is burned. You have nothing. And now your friends, the people that are with you, the ones that you've protected and you've been with, they're turning on you. And they want to kill you. Talk about the worst day of your life. And David is distressed, and what does he do? We're in verse 6. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. On the worst day of his life, David strengthened himself in the Lord. That word strengthened is multifaceted. It carries connotations of encouragement, building, and repairing. The word strengthen there, it means to cleave to something or to fasten an object, like maybe you'd hammer it or you'd screw it to something, but you would fasten an object to another. And when David is strengthening himself in the Lord, even though life storms are whipping him back and forth, he's saying, I am going to fasten myself to God, and there is nothing that's going to pull me from him. He strengthens himself. He builds himself. He repairs the damage that his trial, that his worry, that his fear, that these threats of mutiny and death are coming to him. We are not told what he does. But I can just imagine he's thinking, when I was a boy, Samuel came and anointed me and said I was going to be king. That's a promise from God. I am not king. I have never been king. So that promise, that prophecy is still coming. It hasn't happened, and it has to happen because God is faithful. God is true. So I am going to stand on the promise of God, and I'm fastening myself to Him. And I believe David prayed, he pursued God, he probably worshiped, he praised Him, he thanked Him because, God, You said I was going to be king. I'm not king, but I thank You for Your promise. I don't know what he did, but I can see him doing these things, and he's attaching himself. He's solidifying his relationship with God. He's refreshing his faith, his trust, his belief, and his hope. Notice, when he experienced this, he doesn't run to all of his friends and say, "You've got to help me." His friends were against him. He didn't call the prayer chain. You know, he didn't turn on Christian television. He didn't go to his pastor. David went to God. And here's the thing. We do need to go to people, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the first thing you and I need to do in trouble is to seek out God. There are some people, they go and run and tell everyone else all the problems they have, and they never go and spend time with God. We need to refresh our relationship with God. David, look at verse 7. After David was strengthened, look what he did. He asked for a word from God. "God, what do I do?" And God gives it to him. In verse 7, then David said to Abiathar the priest, he went to the priest, the pastor, after he had first taken time, and he said, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And God answered him, saying, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." You'll recover all. Friends, the mark of a mature believer is that he or she initially finds strength from God. Not from other people, not from other sources, but that they learn how to dig into Jesus Christ and make Jesus their burden bearer instead of running to Susie Q or Johnny Joe and say, "Oh, you got to help me and you got to carry me through this." Now, I realize there are times when we need people, and we'll talk about that, but God wants you and I to come to Him first. Come to Him first when you're going through pain. And that's what David did. He pursued God in his pain. He prayed, he praised, he worshiped, he trusted God's promises, and his relationship was refreshed. He got an answer from God, and God said, "Here, go and do this. I am with you." When you go through the worst day of your life, when you're going through pain, refresh your relationship with God. Refocus your life on what God is doing in you, not what's happening to you. And then there's a third thing that Paul is going to teach us from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's there on your notes this morning. Rely on solid relationships. We do need other people. We shouldn't do the Christian life alone. We need others. We need to rely on solid relationships. Look at verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, "God, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us." Verse 11, "You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." Paul knew, I can't get through this alone. I need other people. I need to be in relationship with other Christ followers. We are a body. We need to support each other. Paul relied on sharing his burden with other people after he first went to Jesus. And he knew that I can't do life alone. That's why our life groups, our small groups, are so important, because in our life groups, we are building those relationships and those connections. Our prayer is that every adult will be in a life group. We're wrapping up. We just wrapped up. This is our last week in our life groups. We're going to be starting a new quarter in the fall. If you haven't been a part of our small group ministry, I encourage you to do so. I've heard just some awesome testimonies, some awesome stories, what God has been doing in our life groups, how people have been encouraged, they've been ministered to, and people saying, man, in the past few weeks we've been together, I feel like I'm closer to people in the church than I've ever been before. I feel I'm supported. I feel I'm cared for. You need to get in relationship, because God did not intend you and I to be Lone Ranger. Hi-ho, silver away. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? Batman has Robin. You know, we're none of us are Superman that we can do it alone. You and I need people. We have to rely on people. So many times when we go through issues in life, we withdraw into solitude. And we don't want to open up, and we don't want to share, and we just keep the pain to ourselves. And there's no one who knows your hurt, and if there's no one who knows your hurt, you're in trouble. Paul said, you guys pray for us. I've been sharing with you the pain we're going through. Man, pray for us. We need each other. Do you have some solid Christian relationships? Some brothers, some sisters you know you can go to when things are in the balance, when you're in a painful, difficult time? If not, I encourage you, first of all, begin to be that person. Look for people that need that, because here's the thing. If you need something, how do you get it? You begin to sow it. You begin to plant it. Begin to do it in your own life, because you reap what you sow. And as you begin to be that person to others, God's going to bring people into your life that you can depend on, and they'll be there to support you.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.